I'd like to come back and revisit verse 25 of chapter 1 just briefly. James chapter 1 verse 25, our opening scripture this morning. And there's something else that's really vitally important for us to see. I didn't mention it when I first started with it, but during our huggy break time, I said, "No, I really need to try to for you to see this other thing that's deeper embedded into the scripture." Surely James was an in-your-face kind of person to be able to write things like this. And if you read all of those five chapters, he doesn't mamby-pamby around the issues of how important faith is and about the things that we do that are motivated by our faith. And he makes the clear distinction between the people who do their works to gain favor are those who do works because they're motivated by their faith in Christ. And there's a difference. But I want to, even though this is a hard letter to read and to take, you probably would want to maybe just take part of a chapter a day and really chew on it and meditate on it. But as tough as it sounds, as in your face as he comes across in his writing, there's one thing that's deeper than all of that. And you see the Father's heart pleading through those he anointed to bring us the Word of God is his love. God never wanted us to fail, to flounder, to struggle, to do any of those things. That's why he empowered us with his Holy Spirit, that we could live a life above the old life of the flesh, where all we knew to do is what we knew in our own way of thinking, and not even considering when we read the Word that we should be thinking about it from what was in my Father's heart when he spoke those words. And he's pleading, if you will, through this writer James, that take my word seriously in your lives. Don't make light of it. My words are life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they're life to those who find them." And to find them is to look into, like James said, there's little connections back to Jesus' teaching that James brings out that the others don't, because they had to put up with him every day in their house. I mean, they grew up together in their home. And so I'm sure that Jesus the Christ was also Jesus the brother in the home, Jesus the son. And so within a conversation, you have to kind of put yourself in that perspective, knowing that they grew up together, and like you with your brothers and sisters in the natural, there's a time of growing before you all go out and do what you do, but there's a time where you're in a home together as a family. And when you read James, think about that, because James had a very unique relationship with Jesus that the other apostles didn't have. They had him for 3 years. James had him for a lifetime. And so when he writes like this, he saw his brother. He got up with him. He saw him get up and brush his teeth in the morning and have coffee or tea or whatever he did in the morning. And Mother Mary, bless her heart, cooked him breakfast. I don't know how they liked their eggs. I don't know if they made chapatis like we had in a Mideast tradition. I don't know if he ate puff bread. I don't know all those things. But I know that from his perspective, he lived every day of his life looking upon the one that was going to end up being on the cross, and how that impacted his life. And he couldn't help, I think, but be a loving, forceful, if you will, bring across this letter, because he saw the price that was paid for these words that we have today. And I think that really brings the passion out in him and his love for the brethren. He wouldn't write to us like that if he didn't love us. He wouldn't be able to bring that across if he hadn't had that walk and that relationship with Christ as his Savior, but Christ as his brother. And I don't know, you see the Father's heart there, because all through the Bible you see God's heart of mercy and compassion and love. Always, it seems like he's always going the extra creative mile to make sure that we have knowledge and understanding of the life that he's always intended for people to have. And last week we talked about rejecting knowledge. God gave everyone the opportunity to know him. And the knowledge, the vast amount of knowledge that's available to us. But he says, but they were destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected it. And you hear James's passion here too. It's all about the word and the importance of that in our lives. And I can sum this knowledge teaching all up very quickly in one little sentence. For me, knowledge is everything I learned after I knew it all. That's it. And, you know, we're still in this. And we have a long ways to go. So we don't want to take his words lightly, but we don't want to come away from here feeling like, man, the Lord beat me up today. No, he didn't. He lifted us up. And James just has a different way of bringing those truths out. So when he says things like he says, don't be shocked or offended by it. His teaching on prayer and worldliness and pride, warning to the rich, patience and afflictions, all of these subtitles, just because that was an opening scripture, that's to entice you to take the chance and read the whole book. Read the whole book of James, and maybe you'll get a better glimpse of seeing this book is unique in the fact that it was written by one of Jesus' natural brothers, and the spiritual insight that he had. It's a fascinating book, and I'm going to stop with this today, because I can't add anything that's been said today. I wouldn't want to take away from that by going on into something else. This is too good to pass up. Looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing. Don't back off. Don't chicken out. Don't let peer pressure suppress you. Don't let what people think of you stop you, because if they know they can, they will. You need to press on, stand firm, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. No, I didn't bring my Superman shirt today. We did that already. But that's you in Christ. I did that.
You did? And I missed it?
Yep. Yeah, it was at the end over church, that quiet little church on the hill. Just look into and see the depth that's really there for us to see by the Spirit. And as always, there are some churches that just get into traditions for tradition's sake. We have ours too. One of them is taking the time to pray with each and every one of you one-on-one if those are the particular needs that you have, or the unique thing about it is we get to pray as a body for each other, and that way we all get involved, and that's really special, because I think it's important that we pray for Hannah. Hannah's our sister in Christ, and we see outwardly a calamity, a tragedy, something that happened so quick, and they lost everything but their lives. That shows me, once again, we think we have it all, and then suddenly when it's gone, what do we have left to stand on? And that's why I was adamant about that scripture that James talked about. If we lost it all, what would we have to stand on? We'd have to stand on the solid rock of our foundation, Jesus Christ. That we have, and we'll never be without that. Does anybody have any prayer needs? Okay, let's pray for Hannah. Oh, we got Marjorie, okay.